Welcome back to the World Peace Diet Circle. I'm Steve Prusak, and tonight we've got Dr. Will Tuttle and special guest Jean-Pierre joining us in just a minute here. Thanks for joining the call. Your membership site is now updated with your May resources. You can download them now. Just log into the World Peace Diet Facilitator Circle membership site, and you'll find the May resources below the web player and question submission form for tonight. And as always, you can submit questions in the membership site. You can type them in if you have any questions for Dr. Tuttle and Jean-Pierre tonight. Or you can do star 2 on your phone, star 2 to raise your hand. We'll get you in the queue, and we'll be taking questions later tonight. So let's welcome right now to the call Dr. Will Tuttle. Hi, Will.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much. And I'm delighted to see that we do have our good friend Jean-Pierre with us on the line already, and that's terrific. And so, yeah, it's just great to have everybody here with us tonight. It's May 17th, 2012. Madeline and I are in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it's really an exciting time for us. I will maybe get into it a little bit later. It's been one of those days that I'll remember probably for a long time, because the truck that we've been using for the last 17 years, our old 1986 Ford F-250, 6.9 diesel pickup truck to pull our rolling home all over the United States, we probably put at least, 400,000 miles on it, maybe a 300 over the last 17 years. It's just a good friend. Anyway, strange things happened. Somebody put a little bit too much oil in it a couple of days ago at an oil change, and one thing led to another, and the engine went out today completely. So we actually bought a new truck. So we're busy with our new truck in 2003. Of course, we have a bunch of lectures coming up Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and up in Washington, D.C., and in Baltimore, Maryland. So we really needed to have a truck right away. So I'm really glad that the angels were with us, and we were able to pull everything together. So I want to just begin our time together. You may notice I have a slight frog in my throat here, but I'm feeling fantastic in spite of that. I want to start our time together with just taking a moment, please, and just breathe. And this is probably for me more than anyone else, just to breathe and feel our connection with this beautiful earth and with each other and with the whole multitude of our brothers and sisters who are working to help bring more compassion and health into our world. There are many people with us working on this very important mission that we have together to transform our society. So let's feel our connection with them, feel our connection with nature, with the animals, all the animals who are being used for food in the United States and all over the world, in other countries, and send them our love and compassion. And we thank also the everyone that's helping to raise awareness about their plight. We feel also and send love to the wild animals, the free-living animals who are losing habitat, and many of them are being forced into extinction. We send our love to them, to all future generations of all living beings, and to the teachers in our lives who are helping to illuminate a path to healing and peace in the world. So thank you all for joining us, and I'm just really delighted that we have this opportunity to get together once a month. It's been actually just a year. This is, I think, number 13 probably. So we're starting a new cycle in the World Peace Diet Circle. And Steve and I have some ideas of opening this up to more people, because I think that's important now to get the message out to more people. So we'll be talking about that. To kind of boost the enrollment here. And we're also talking about hosting a large vegan event in July. So we'll tell you more about that, too, as time goes on. And right now, though, I'd like to introduce our special guest, John Pierre, who is patiently waiting here for us as we begin our time. And remember, just to press star 2 on your phone if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment to me or to John or to Steve or to anyone. We always have that option. This is an open forum, and we'd love to hear from you, too. So the short bio of John, he's a wonderful person. Madeline and I have known John for quite a few years, I think going back at least 10 years. And he's a nutrition and fitness consultant who has devoted more than 25 years to helping improve the lives of others through his expertise in the areas of geriatrics, nutrition, fitness, women's empowerment, green living, and cognitive retainment and improvement. He's a dedicated activist. He works with people of all ages, promoting the benefits of a plant-based diet, stress reduction, physical fitness, and the importance of living a loving and compassionate life. He's a popular personal trainer who conducts group fitness boot camps and works with individual clients. And I guess some of the big news is that he is now the personal trainer for one of our favorite vegan celebrities, Ellen DeGeneres. He is working with her directly. And he's a vegan nutrition and fitness consultant who lectures throughout the United States. And he's also very well known for his innovative work helping older adults enhance cognitive functioning. And he's also well known for his fun and effective approach to fitness. And so I think this is, it's just a great honor to have him with us here this evening. He's worked with Vegetarian Summerfest for many years. That's where I first met him, I believe. He's also worked with the Girl Scouts of America, with many after-school programs, colleges, high schools, and he's a strong women's rights activist. He's lectured at women's shelters, coordinating the collection and distribution of clothing and food, lectured at orphanages, teen runaway centers, schools, and all these places where people really need to hear the message. So this is someone who's really devoted his life to helping others and do it with a big smile. So I would like to invite Steve to unmute. John, I guess you're unmuted, it looks like. So welcome, John. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Will and Steve. Great to be here. I appreciate it.
All right. Good. We got a connection here. That's great. So basically, I hope you can hear me okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, you can. Okay, good. I'm a little concerned about our connection plus my throat. But anyway, so could you please just enlighten us a little bit about how you got into this whole line of blessing the world? Because it seems to me you have a very unique niche. You are someone who's able to work with people in a variety of different ways, fitness especially, but with old people, with young people, with women, with girls, with famous celebrities. I mean, it seems like you're just working with all these different people. And how did you get into this? Maybe you can let us know sort of what are the main things you're trying to accomplish in this incarnation here on planet Earth as you're doing your work?
I started becoming vegan over 30 years ago. So I started when I was in high school, and that was actually before. There weren't many vegans back then. There wasn't even many vegetarians for me to roll after. But in high school, the two oral reports that I did were women's rights and animal rights. And once I found out about it, there was no denying it. Once I understood what was happening to animals, and I never made the connection as a youngster, obviously, that we were eating them. And so from then on, it was full force animal rights and following a vegan diet. And then, I pretty much got into the geriatric field. I've been working in geriatrics for 20 years, and my specialty there is actually enhancing cognitive functioning in seniors. And the reason I went toward a geriatric field is because, again, I saw it was an area that they weren't getting the attention that they needed. You know, these were people that in other cultures are revered, and in our culture, they're just thrown into a nursing home or, just almost abandoned as if they don't have any, that they don't have anything to offer anymore. And I just thought that was just crazy. And I said, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to start, you know, working with them and shedding more love into their life. And so I started a lot of these brain building programs, and I was teaching plant-based nutrition and fall prevention programs and things like that. And then I've been, you know, I just been doing all these things since I've been young. It was just a natural affinity to go where I was needed.
Right. Yeah, the geriatric population, you're right. It's tragic to see how in other cultures the elders are honored and respected and taken care of, and not just taken care of, but are looked to really for guidance, and how in our culture we drug them so much. I mean, there's so many drugs and so much suffering in those populations, and I guess a lot of it, of course, is due to the fact that they're eating a lot of non-vegan foods that are processed and have a lot of toxins as they're growing up and throughout their life, especially when they get older, so they have a lot of diseases. Do you think that they can reverse some of these things? I mean, have you seen some of that happening?
Sure, yeah. You know, the thing is that most of the seniors that I worked with 20 years ago, you know, you have to remember these are probably the last people on earth that, number one, lived an active lifestyle, and number two, most of their food, though it wasn't vegan, it grew from the earth. So they weren't eating processed foods, and they were eating limited amounts of animal products. But the main thing that they were doing that we don't do in our society anymore is they lived an active lifestyle. So that caused a lot of vasodilation of their blood vessels, opening it up. So even if they had some plaque in there already, their arteries were always open. They ate a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, so they had a lot of antioxidants in their diet. And the one thing that they didn't have that we have today in our society that's omnipresent is hatred and anger and jealousy and greed. These were kind people. They helped one another. You know, if somebody's barn burned down, they were there building it up. If some of their friends didn't have food,
right,
because they were sharing it. So, you know, there's more to longevity than just your diet. And the seniors that I dealt with, especially 20 years ago, you know, they lived fine. They were in their 80s and 90s and fully functioning at retirement homes. But today we're seeing younger and younger people come into these retirement homes, and they follow the, you know, a standard American diet. They've had a lot of, you know, negativity in their life. They haven't gotten much exercise. And as automation and technology moves into everybody's lives today, you're going to see these retirement homes filling up faster and faster. You know, people are basically just premature aging today, not only because of poor diet and poor thoughts, but they're not moving their body anymore. They're not thinking good thoughts and doing good deeds, which has always been my motto. I've always said, you've got to think good thoughts, and then you've got to do good deeds, because thinking good thoughts is not enough. You got to take action on them.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. You know, I'm wondering, John, this is sort of a technical thing, but Steve has been communicating to me that your line is a little bit cutting in and out. I was wondering if you maybe could just hang up and call right back in on the same line or a different line, whatever. If that's the only line you have, maybe just try it again, and
okay.
I'm going to pick it up. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about what you just said, and then as soon as you're back on, we'll just unmute you, because I think it could be a little better. I mean, it's not bad. It's not terrible, but it's just kind of cutting in and out and might be distracting to people. So I thought maybe we could try one more calling back in maybe. Would that work?
Okay. I'll do that now. Thanks.
Great. Okay. So I just want to talk a little bit about what JP, John Pierre, was just saying, because isn't that beautiful what he was saying? I mean, he's right. You know, it's in a sense, I mean, in the Buddhist tradition, we talk about karma. And every tradition talks about, as you sow, so shall you reap, that when we live lives of violence, either directly or indirectly, it comes back. And looking into old people's homes, Madeline and I actually have been for many years also going into nursing homes and retirement centers to play the piano for these people. And it's just really just amazing to see what how these people have been reduced to back to infancy. In a lot of ways, they don't know who they are, what they're doing. They're very often under a lot of medication. I mean, they're all under a lot of medication, and they're just eating. That's one of the things that really bothers me. That all they're doing is eating and watching television, and they're eating meat and dairy products. And I'm thinking, gosh, they're keeping these people alive for years, doing nothing but watching television and stabbing and killing animals so they can watch television. they're kind of beyond contributing anything, really. They're just sort of surviving in many ways. I mean, I know it's not always true, but we've seen it's just pretty tragic to see that and generating a lot of money for the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and for the meat industry. And I just think that what Steve is, what John Pierre is doing is so fantastic because he's working to help educate people. And I think, of course, we need a whole army of people doing this, and we need to have it happening on a larger level. So I see John Pierre's back. And let's try it again. I was just commenting, John, how you really, you know, what you're doing is so important and how tragic it is that people, as we get old, you know, and actually, as you're saying, I mean, nowadays people are getting Alzheimer's disease in their 40s and 50s, you know, and they're getting severe, you know, having strokes in their 40s and 50s, and it's hitting much younger. They're getting diabetes earlier on. All these things are happening much earlier because of the food. And so, I mean, our work is obviously so important. But could you continue talking a little bit more, if you have anything more to say about the geriatric, what you're doing in that level, that would be great to hear.
Right. One of the things that I did, again, starting 20 years ago, is into these retirement homes and adult daycare centers. I brought in, first of all, I bring in vegan food. So I would turn them on to vegan food. I'd bring it in. I'd buy, you know, organic water. Blueberry juice, and we'd serve that, and everything that was designed to enhance cognitive functioning, because blueberries are actually been shown to enhance neuronal communication and repair damage that's occurred in the brain. They're one of the highest antioxidant foods that we can get here in the United States. So I'd make sure their diet was very plentiful in that. I would encourage them to follow more of a plant-based diet, and then we'd do shopping tours. So we'd go to different health food stores, and I'd show them what to buy. And then I would introduce music. So we would have different music because music is one of the fastest ways to stimulate, you know, brain functioning. And then right after music is aromatherapy because, you know, the olfactory nerve that's in your nose that connects to your brain. So when you're smelling scents, say, for instance, a senior is starting to get dementia or they're just starting to lose their mental faculties, and we let them smell some crayons or some chalk, that takes them back in time 40 years. And all of a sudden now we've connected to the first brain that's been forgotten, and then we just build on that.
Wow, that's great. I mean, that's amazing. And you know, like you say, I think music, you know, hearing and smell just are ways to access people's consciousness and helping them to eat vegan food. Have you had pretty good success in terms of the actual administrations of, do they like what you're doing and want more? I mean, is there a demand for this, or is it something that is considered still pretty avant-garde?
Well, a lot of the retirement homes that I taught at, not all of them, but a lot of them were very high-end, and they were very expensive.
Yeah.
So they were fine with it, you know, and I worked with actually, you know, the vice presidents of the whole entire, you know, facilities that they had of all their retirement homes. They were actually my clients even. So they were very big into making. And then most importantly, what I would do is I would say to the residents, I would say, look, you're paying a lot of money to live here. You should at least be asking for food that you enjoy and that is beneficial for you. So then they would flood the comment boxes. They would always fill them. They'd say, you know, we heard John Pierre talk, and we'd like to start having blueberry juice served here. We would like to have, you know, oatmeal in the mornings. You know, we would like to have more fresh salads and fresh fruit available throughout the day. And so then they created the demand. I got the spark, you know, I put the spark out there, and then they got it going. So, it worked out really good. And I saw a lot of people change their lives, a lot of seniors, you know, especially cognitively, a lot of people who started off very depressed and lethargic after coming to my classes, you know, I would just see them just glow. They would just start to glow. And they were just like a flower that had no water, and then you add water, and all of a sudden they blossomed. It was a miracle.
Right.
Because I would go into some of these retirement homes three or four times a week and do these programs, so I was able to really build on and create this momentum.
That's great. Was that mostly in the Chicago area or also in Southern California?
That was Chicago. That's where I'm from, Chicago. But
wow.
I did do programs throughout the United States at different retirement homes because they were owned by a conglomerate, and then they would get, you know, they would have me go teach out in Florida or wherever else, Colorado and wherever.
That's interesting. One other question about that. You know, quite a few people who are on this call, you know, they've gone through the World Peace Diet Facilitator training. They really want to spread the vegan message more and more effectively And this sounds to me like something that might be a possibility to make an income at as a vegan consultant, someone who's helping with healthy living and fitness and going into institutions where there's old people living and really not only help people but actually get paid so you can, you know, survive and live and thrive in that society. Do you think that there's a possibility for people to make their own way? It's kind of something they have to sort of figure out on their own, but what do you think about that? Is there a demand for that?
Absolutely. I mean, for years and years and years, I did so many free programs anywhere I could. I worked with the Girl Scouts, and, you know, I would bring in, you know, make smoothies. So I would just bring in, you know, frozen vegetables and fruits and almond milk and create smoothies from vegan burgers. And, you know, I did all that for free. And even some retirement homes, I would do that. Wherever I could, I'd do it for free because it was my mission. But as time went on,
right,
more places would want to pay me, and they would want to give me money, even though I wasn't asking. And I, you know, would say, sure, okay, at least it will cover some of my costs. And, yeah, people definitely can make a living that way. I mean, I do now, so if, you know,
right,
I'm basically living, you know, doing my passion for years.
Right. Yeah, I think that's an important point. You know, start out as a volunteer, just doing it and learning and not asking for anything. And as you develop your skills and abilities and people like what you're doing, and then pretty soon you'll be getting paid for it. I mean, this happens all the time, and it's a very important thing, I think, to be aware of. And it's a great way to help others and to create a foundation for a livelihood like you have now. Could you say a little bit about what you're doing now, and maybe anything in between what you used to do and what you're doing now?
Well, let's see. What I'm doing now, I mean, again, my clientele is pretty wide variety. I mean, I work with some of the top celebrities, but then I also work a lot with, you know, like military and law enforcement quite a bit. And then I still see a lot of my clients that come to me are 300-plus pounds. So I see a lot of clients that come to me that want to lose weight. And it's pretty common for my clients to come in at 300-plus pounds, and in a year they'll drop 150 pounds. They've gotten off their medications, and, you know, they've changed their life. Not only have they become vegan, but then they become, you know, basically animal activist and humanitarian, because basically the way I teach is nutritional is only one of the components that I teach. You know, AHIMSA is the centerpiece of everything I teach, which is, you know, reverence and for life and compassion for all. So, I'm at all the different conferences. So, you know, I'll be heading out to Vegetarian Summer Fest this year, and the Denver Veg Fest I'll be at the Toronto Food Fair, and then Farm Sanctuary's Hoedown. So I make the rounds at all the different venues and just see clients in between. And I still do
Great.
Boot camps. I teach boot camps around the country still.
Right. So basically, you have a wide range of clients. Did you ever do any kind of training officially to become a coach, or is this something you just started doing and you're just doing it?
It was interesting. One of my clients had a master's degree in nutrition, and she said, you know, JP, you've got so much knowledge, you know, what type of coursework have you had? And so I brought in, you know, stacks of stuff, and she looked at all my coursework, and she said, you know, that's like two PhDs there. So I've just taken tremendous amount of courses and, you know, programs and a lot of different certifications that I've had, but I never went out to get necessarily a degree in something. I like to say that I've got my PhD in results. I don't
right.
Schooling method, because okay, so when I came out of high school, they didn't have plant-based anything when I graduated high school. So you have to, if you wanted to,
right,
and I didn't want to, you had to go get a degree in traditional nutrition and promote the basic four food groups, two of which were animal products.
Right.
So I chose to boycott that.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your work with Ellen DeGeneres. Has that been rewarding for you?
Yeah. Sure. All my work that I do with celebrities is rewarding, and the reason is because I came out to work with celebrities and rock stars for only one reason, because I wanted them to take my information of following a plant-based diet and teaching compassion and love, and I wanted them to share that with others. And if they were already vegan, I wanted to fine-tune their vegan lifestyle, not just the diet, but the lifestyle. That was the key thing. I just, fine-tuning the vegan diet, that's not that complicated, but there's more to the vegan lifestyle than just the diet. So teaching love and compassion and things about, you know, pre-cycling. You know, not that we don't even need to recycle all the time if we would just think. You know, we don't need to be getting plastic. We could be using our bags. And we can get a compost bag, you know, and all these different
right.
things. So So all the different celebrities that I've worked with and I still work with, it's been very rewarding, especially when they take my information that I've shared with them and share it with other people. So that's the most rewarding thing, because we're all just spokes on a wheel, but we can't support the wheel alone. We need all the spokes in that wheel.
Right, that's well said. Great. I want to tell everybody, you know, press star 2 if you have a question for John. Press star 2 if you have a question, or I should also check with you if anybody. We also have people who are looking on the computer, and they're typing in their questions. Let me just check and see if we've got any questions. So also, I heard from you when I talked to you a while back that you're working on a new book, and you're also doing some work with Terry Saunders, perhaps. Do you want to say anything about any of that? Because I think that's very interesting.
Sure. I have – my webpage is just johnpierre.com, and it's P-I-E-R-R-E. And I have three cooking DVDs. One is In the Kitchen with John Pierre, and there's one called Vegan Weight Loss. And then the other I've done with Dr. Terry Saunders, and that one is called When Bachelor Meets Homemaker. And so all those are cooking DVDs but lectures. So in other words, we're talking about food, and we're talking about all different aspects of food, of nutrients and timing of food and different things like that as we're cooking. So you're seeing it. And every recipe is very quick, you know, 5 minutes or less. So it's not very difficult. It was actually made. The reason I made those was because so many of my clients that I worked with that were new, the most common theme I'd hear is that they don't have time to make complicated recipes. So I came up with, and Dr. Terry Saunders and I came up with really easy, quick recipes. And then I'm also working on a book right now that's about motion. It's about movement, because part of what I teach also is movement. I don't use the term exercise because it's really kind of a negative word, and I'm not really encouraging traditional exercise at a gym. I'm encouraging people to live an active lifestyle like our ancestors did and live an active lifestyle. So they should be out doing physical activities for fun, not being a viewer. I'd want them to be a doer. So don't just go watch sporting events. Play sporting events. Do something. Buy a bicycle, walk, play sports with your kids, clean your own house. You know, get out there and do things that your body needs. So those are some of the projects I'm working on. And I just filmed a reality show pilot. It was actually in geriatrics. So I think they're looking to see if that's going to be picked up.
Is that, you say you filmed a reality show pilot. Does that mean that you yourself will actually be hosting it in some way or be part of it, or is it your idea?
It was actually in geriatrics, and it's basically the premises is we're going into a senior's home, and many times they have the beginning stages of dementia or they have some physical challenges, and then I go in, and from a nutrition and fitness standpoint, I try to improve their life and help the caretakers, and then they'll bring in some other different people too that, you know, rearrange their house, and it's kind of like a makeover type of program, but we make over the house. So they just filmed a pilot on that, and they're looking to, you know, market that one. And I've been offered reality shows before, and I've turned them down because it just wasn't in alignment with my beliefs. I don't go for shows that want me to just help people lose weight, because that's not going to solve your problems, weight loss. If that was the case, then people who were thin would have no problems. But, you know, you have to work on what's in between your ears, too, the brain and emotion.
So you can do that with this program, talking about the cultivating an attitude of kindness and eating a plant-based diet, not just for your health, but also not to harm animals and starving people. You could mention a lot of those things, hopefully. I mean, that would be great to kind of educate people.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, everything that I do from a dietary standpoint is based on, you know, a pure plant-based diet. So a diet, you know, a little bit stricter than what many people consider vegan, because I prefer people to avoid salt, oil, and sugar, because those can be very addicting substances. So I like to fine-tune the vegan diet, but the cornerstone of everything I teach dietary-wise is a pure plant-based diet, for sure.
Right. That's great. You know, we've got a couple of hands up here, Steve. Steve, you have your hand up. What would you like to contribute?
Hi, John. Thanks, Will. Hi, John.
Hi.
My question is, so are you finding in Hollywood that there's more, when you're backstage or things like that, are there more plant-based, is there more of an awareness about plant-based options and things? It's always, I have a friend who's a musician, touring musician in a really well-known band, and it's really a challenge for him to get the kind of food he needs. What are you seeing in Hollywood? Is there more of a change, do you think?
There's definitely more of a change. And probably 15 years ago, I created programs for bands, dietary programs for bands, you know, rock stars and so forth, because I do work with rock stars. And the thing is, it's so much easier now because so many of the caterers are hip to the idea of eating healthier, so it's much more available. And if they're a big enough star, they pretty much can call their own shots. You know, they can pretty much call what they want on the set or on the tour. That's not a problem. And, you know, the truth of the matter is what happens with a lot of bands is they've gone through the rough times with the drugs and a lot of the abuse in their life, and they realize that they're not going to be able to continue at this pace. So many of them clean up their life, and they tour with people who, you know, that tour with them. They'll have their own private chefs, their own personal, you know, fitness people or yoga instructors. Sometimes they even tour with medical personnel because they're getting IVs of nutrients, you know, ascorbic acid, vitamins, that type of things. So vitamin IVs. So, yeah, it's changing quite a bit. And, you know, if you want longevity in this field, you know, you have to be able to take care of the temple.
Wow. Great. That's very interesting. We also have a hand up from our friend in Cincinnati, the one and only Mark Stroud. Mark? Yeah.
Hello,
yeah,
Will.
You're on. Hi.
Oh,
hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah. Yeah, glad to be here. And hello, John.
Hello.
Glad to meet you here on the call. And I just wanted to say that I was inspired by what John had to say, particularly about AHIMSA. And as you know, Will, we are coming up on the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee. Things are starting to build some momentum here, and for October 11th through the 14th. And when I heard John Pierre talk about AHIMSA and then talk about Veggie Summerfest and, you know, some of the other conferences, I realized that this was the perfect opportunity to invite John Pierre to speak at the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, if there's any information you guys could send me, Will has my contact information, or you can go to my website, just johnpierre.com, and there's contact there. And then you could send me an email. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I'll forward all the information to Will. I mean, he has it anyway. So, yeah, we'd love to have you. You'll fit right in with the message that we'd like to spread to everyone at the conference and the rest of the world. So,
yeah,
sure,
you know,
well, thank you.
Right.
Appreciate
it. Mark is the basically the co-founder of the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee. It's going to be the third annual.
This is actually
fourth annual is coming up. Yeah, we've had three already. Gosh, time goes by. And it's really the only conference, I think, that does a specific kind of blending of veganism and spirituality, with really the key being AHIMSA and speakers and classes and yoga and everything to help us to bring that message to the larger community. And, yeah, you're right, Mark. I think, John, you would be just really a wonderful fit for that conference. Yeah, great.
Well, great.
All right.
I'd like to talk a little bit at the conference later in the call, but I'll give it back to you. I just wanted to say thank you, John, and say hello, and I look forward to seeing you in October, if not sooner.
Thank you so
awesome.
Much.
Okay, we have another hand up here. I'm not sure who it is, but you are unmuted. So if you press star 2 a few minutes ago.
Hello.
It doesn't on your phone. Yeah, hello. You're on.
Hi. Yes, hi. This is Veronique. Can you hear me?
Veronique. Oh, hi. Great to have you.
Hi, Will.
Hi.
Hi, Jean-Pierre. Very nice to hear you. Here's my question. You're obviously somebody who deals with a lot of people and are teaching a lot of people vegan nutrition. I'm currently learning and in school to become a health coach, and specifically a vegan health coach. So my plan is to, you know, educate people to, you know, better adopt a vegan diet and a healthy one, and also to promote the ideas of AHIMSA and nonviolence in general towards animals and humans. I was wondering if you had any advice and tips you could give me.
Sure. I think the simpler you keep your diet, the better it is. The more, when I started 30 years ago on a vegan path, there wasn't really much processed foods back then. They didn't even have soy milk. They had a soy powder, and it was, you know, it was not good at all. I tried it once. And there wasn't any processed stuff. So we were we didn't know any better. We just ate, you know, fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and potatoes, you know, and legumes and different grains. And then as these processed foods start coming into the vegan community, that's when we start running into problems because everything was made with high amounts of sugar and high fructose corn syrup and lots of oils and lots of sodium. And what's happened is food scientists now have found out the right ratio of salt and fat and oil to make your palate, you know, just go crazy, and then it affects your brain. And so then you become addicted to these foods. So the simpler that you can keep the foods for your clients, the less eating problems that they won't have as much addictions and they won't have weight issues. And then also, you know, you just want to keep educated because there's a lot of issues that vegans need to still be concerned with. I think B12 is one. I've had some celebrities who've had beginning stages of B12 deficiency, and if I wasn't able to identify it, they could have permanent neurological damage. So you need to be careful with certain supplements that you should be taking. B12 is one, possibly DHA, mm-hmm. an important fatty acid, omega-3. Sometimes right. in a vegan diet, we can be a little bit low in zinc, so we need to make sure that our zinc level is good. And I think the other thing that would be important is a lot of the resources out there, like Dr. Michael Greger, he's great resources. Dr. Joel Furman, I think he's excellent. And Dr. McDougall is excellent. There's lots of great people out there. You kind of want to keep up to date on some of the latest mm-hmm. vegan studies because they never did the studies in the past. It wasn't until really Dr. Michael Clapper, who also is one of the top vegan doctors, really did the vegan health study that we started understanding about what nutrients vegans are low in.
Absolutely. I took a class at Cornell from Chick Colleen Campbell, and so I totally agree with you. I also, through Integrated Nutrition, recently just listened to Dr. Neil Barnard, and I was lucky enough to also get a couple of videos from Dr. Kepler, and very, very amazing information from all of that. So I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, and if you look at my cooking DVDs, you'll get easy recipes that you can pass to your clients, but you'll also mm-hmm. get, we're talking about nutrition in there. So we talk about the importance of when to eat fat in your diet, when it is important to have fats like avocado and walnuts or Brazil nuts. And then we talk about a little bit on different grains and, you know, amaranth and quinoa and the benefits of different grains. So that's a good way to get education now online and through DVDs and things like that.
Wonderful. That sounds like a great idea.
I think we...
I'm still here.
Oh, good. You're still there. Veronique, were you finished?
All right. Thank you.
You were finished. Okay, great. Well, thank you. That was very interesting. Yeah, man, to help people, you know, it's important that obviously they would be thriving as vegans and to understand everything about that. Steve, you have your hand up, I think.
Yeah, I had a quick question, John. I was watching that video on JohnPierre.com with the training you did with Ellen DeGeneres in the audience. And,
yeah, that was her staff.
What was that with the jump rope? I noticed, was it cut? Do you cut a jump rope? I was wondering, I was trying to get an idea on how you could jump
yeah.
rope without
well,
being good at it.
Yeah, if you just Google JohnPierre and Ellen DeGeneres together, you'll see we did, there's a bunch of short video clips, and I kind of explain that, go into that, but you know, one of the most important attributes that we need today is coordination and agility, and it's lacking because everybody goes to a health club and they're on a bicycle, they're on a treadmill, and they're not moving in different directions. And jumping rope is one of the best things for you. The problem is that most people can't jump rope because their foot gets tangled. So what I've done is basically just taken a jump rope and cut it in half, and now their feet don't get caught.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and that class that I did, that was – I teach boot camps for Ellen's staff, and so that was just a filming of us doing a boot camp, some of the activities and exercises that I utilize. Because you have to remember that when my book comes out, it hopefully will be out next year in March, but the premise of my book is that you can't do 1 hour of exercise in a day to counteract 23 hours of sedentary living. You need to live an active lifestyle. You need to be moving in the morning, in between lunch, lunchtime, in between dinner, before you go to bed. You have to be moving all the time. So you need to be squatting and reaching up to the sky. You know, if you're sitting in a chair, every hour just do a squat and reach 10 times. And at the end of a 7-hour workday, you did 70 squats. And at the end of a week, you did 350 squats. But you see, you snuck that movement into your life. And that's the secret. You need to sneak movement in. You don't necessarily need to go to a health club. As a matter of fact, if you're lying in a bed for 8 hours and then you're sitting in the car driving to work and then you're sitting at work and then you're driving back home and then sitting on the couch and then you go to a health club and then you sit on a bicycle or you sit in a chair and do curls and military presses, it's crazy. Your body's been in a compromised sitting state all day. You need to get out of that common posture. So that's what my whole book is going to be about. But jumping rope is a tool that I utilize for all my clients. And just by cutting it in half, it makes most everyone can do it.
Great. Thank you. Can't wait for the book. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, the book is do you have a publisher for the book, John?
Not yet. It's interesting. I don't. A lot of people have approached me about it, but it's just a matter of, you know, having the book come out the way I'd like it to come out. You know, a lot of times when you're publishing books, they have their ideas of what should be in it, and that doesn't it's kind of silly because they have their ideas of what should be in it, but they don't really understand nutrition and fitness. So it's like
it's kind of
odd that they'd want to be commenting on information they don't really understand. So I'm just waiting right now to have somebody who understands what I'm trying to convey because I'm not interested in promoting a book, you know, lose 10 pounds, you know, in 5 days type of thing because that's all nonsense. That's just people wanting to hear good news about their bad habits. I mean, it just sells books, but it doesn't help humanity.
Right. Great. Well, we'll see. We'll visualize your book coming out with the perfect publisher and reaching a lot of people because it sounds like your ideas are right along the lines of what we talk about in the World Peace Diet, and you're incorporating the fitness along with it and the positive attitude and love and compassion for all beings. It's really a delight to have you on the call. Thanks so much for joining us. I think we should probably kind of wrap it up. I think I don't see any other, call me just double check here, any other questions? If anyone has any last minute questions for wonderful JP John Pierre, I really highly recommend going to his website and looking at the videos. And if you know anyone or you yourself would like to have consultation or training or coaching, it's a great way to build strength and fitness, and I speak from personal experience because I still do some of the things that John has taught me, and it's added a lot to my life. You can come to our RV and you can see the little bands that I've attached. I can pull and stretch. That's all from John. He's just a golden-hearted person. So, okay, I don't see any other questions. Any final thing you want to say, John, before we kind of wrap it up here? And we'll go to the rest of the call. I'll be talking a little bit about our retreat that we just had at the farm with the folks on the call. But do you have anything you want to close with?
Let's see. I will be at Vegetarian Summer Fest, which is June 27th through July 1st, and that's in Pennsylvania. And then I'll also be at the Denver Veg Fest on July, I think it's 7th and 8th. So if you guys are anywhere in those areas, you could come check me out. But just my website, johnpierre.com, and then I'm also, if you go to my page there, you'll see the Facebook link, which is just Peace Love JP, and that's my Facebook. And you can kind of, you know, check out my Facebook and the different posts I do there. But I'd like to thank you and Steve for all the great stuff that you guys are doing. I really appreciate it. And I'd like to thank all the listeners for, you know, being part of this and that you're all trying to become beacons of light in our world because that's what we need. We need more and more people to fill themselves up with light, and then the world will start to glow, and that's what we need. And Will, I want to thank you most importantly for the World Peace Diet because it's been one of the most inspirational books that I've ever read, and it's probably the book that I promote the most to all my clients. So thank you so much, Will and Madeline, for that.
Wow, well, thanks. That's great to hear, and I love what you said, beacons of light, where it kind of rhymes, you know, vegan beacons. We can be vegan beacons. I think that's a beautiful way to close our time together. Thanks again, JP, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Vegetarian Summerfest, and hopefully some other
folks. Thank you so much.
Great. Okay, take care. Have a great evening. All right, so this has been just a delightful. This I can't say enough actually about John Pierre. I've seen him in action. He's the real deal. He really gives from his heart and helps people really without any thought of reward. I see him giving away things all the time to people and helping them and driving and flying and helping old people and people at risk. He'll just do it for no money at all. It's just a very refreshing energy that is so genuine and so much a beacon, really, like you said, a light beacon into our world where so many people feel that they won't do anything unless they get paid for it. I know it's good to be paid, but I think the most important thing is we're on this planet really for a relatively short time, and we're all born into a culture that overemphasizes the acquisitiveness and accumulation and consumerism. And even as vegans, I think it's possible for us to get a little bit influenced by that. So we have absolutely real richness, real abundance, real wealth in joy, in health, in happiness, in friendship, in being able to go outside and, like you said, you know, run and jump and play and dance and swim and live in communities that are based on friendship and sustainability. And I think that's the real wealth. Actually, what we buy and consume is pretty much beside the point. So we have Mark with us. What I think I'd like to do is, while Mark is here, just see, Mark, if you have anything, Mark Stroud from Cincinnati and the Wilkie's Yoga Jubilee, if you have any news or anything you'd like to share with the group. I would like to share a little bit about our Wilkie's Diet Conference retreat that went that we had, I guess it was about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago at the farm in Tennessee that went really, really well. And we're still kind of on a high from that. And then we'll kind of see if anyone has any other questions. I can talk a little bit about some of the what I think are some of the main things happening in the movement right now. I mean, every month it seems like we have great changes and progress happening. But so let's see. Mark, do you have anything you want to contribute or add or anything before we move into that stuff?
Well, it was great to hear John Pierre. He's really inspiring, and obviously moved to invite him to the Jubilee.
Yeah,
a few things. Right now we have we've actually extended. We have such an enthusiastic response to our early riser discount, 20% discount for the Jubilee that met, it was supposed to end on the 15th, but now it's been extended to the 27th because there's been so much enthusiasm. So there's still a 20% discount for registration to the Jubilee through May 27th.
So where do they go if they want to find out more? Do they go to just Google World Peace Yoga Jubilee probably, right?
Or World Peace Yoga Jubilee, World Peace Yoga or World Peace Yoga and Jubilee, and it'll take you right there, and you just follow the dots, and it'll tell you how to get the discount. So,
yeah, well, I can't say enough also about the Jubilee. Madeline and I really love it every year, and we're looking forward to it again in October. It's a little bit earlier this year in October, and it's really delightful to be able to meet these great people, and all kinds of things happen. Lots of seeds are planted, and there's great music. Madeline's going to, I think, do a cooking class, it sounds like, possibly. She just did one at the farm, which was a total gas. No, we were
great,
and
yeah.
Getting
revved up.
Yeah. But, and we have, of course, the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training that we do there at the Jubilee. So if you know anyone that would like to actually go through the Facilitator Training, we do that at the Jubilee live with all kinds of exercises and teachings and have a good time. So there's a lot of great speakers that are going to be there and wonderful people from all over the Midwest, but a lot of people come from farther away, too.
Oh, yeah, people come from all over the country, and last year, at least five different continents. So, it's well represented throughout the world. And I'd like to mention that especially this is something that, as far as Madeline's concerned, because she's such a beautiful visionary artist, that we're inviting a number of artists, and we're going to focus on art that really conveys the ahimsa and a feeling of oneness of all beings. And so there, in addition to more music, there will be more artwork So we're really looking forward to that. Great. And also, it will be the launch of the Becoming the Peace Colloquium and the Becoming the Peacemaker training that will actually be part of the facilitator training. And it's an all-day event on Saturday. And so we're just really enthusiastic about that. We really see that as a great adjunct to the facilitator training. And it will be launched at the Jubilee, and then it will be coming to many cities throughout the country. It'll be coming to a city right near you before you know it.
This is fantastic news, everybody. And, you know, we actually have the organization and some funding in place to bring this Becoming the Peace colloquium to groups all over the country to bring actually the World Peace Diet and vegan message in a systematic way to communities around the country and maybe in other parts of the world too, but starting out here. And so I just love seeing how people step forward. They act out of generosity and commitment and caring and compassion and realizing that we each can make a positive difference. And so I hope that we'll be able to talk more about this, I'm sure, so that's great. But I'm sure this will be continuing. It's just slowly unfolding like a beautiful flower, and it's going to be reaching more and more people. And the whole idea is to bring it to people who are not vegans. I mean, it'd be great if people who are vegans can come too, but to bring it to people who are ready for the message, people who are still eating animal foods, but who are open, who are progressive people, perhaps, and, you know, Unitarians and Unity people and other progressive type of people who just need a little bit of understanding and encouragement to find and be inspired, I think, really, be inspired and educated. So, yay. Thanks, Mark. It's great that that's happening.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being a part of it. Yeah, what you said is so much a part of it. Just an example of that would be, say, environmentalists, because I know so many environmentalists, right. So many friends of mine are members of the Sierra Club, and when they hear vegan, they just run the other way. So we're liking to believe that by participating in the Becoming the Peace colloquium, that they'll have more of a foundation and an understanding of a connection. And then they will ask, well, of course I'm a vegan because there's no other choice. I'm an environmentalist, so they're one and the same.
Right. Yeah, we're seeing more and more momentum moving in that direction every day. And I was talking to Albert Bates at the farm. He's a pretty famous environmentalist who's written a number of books and who's worked a lot with the United Nations and a lot of groups in South America and other places. And he's a vegan, you know, and he really emphasized the importance of veganic gardening and veganism and he's bringing that message. And I think, you know, he was saying there's a lot of resistance. There's a lot of people talking about how you've got to have grass-fed beef to manure on the land and all of that. But, you know, that these things kind of die hard, and there's a lot of money behind those things. So I think education and providing an alternative perspective than the perspective that's being offered by the wealthy meat and dairy industry, I think, is so important. So it's great to see this beginning to happen more and more.
Well, there's safety in numbers, so there's more and more of those groups see each other in that way and see leaders, like you just mentioned, that have made that decision and that realization, have come to that truth within themselves. As more and more people come together and see each other in that way, they feel safe. It's kind of like going to a 12-step meeting and you see other people that are having the same experiences and you say, well, it's okay. It's okay to believe this different way and make a difference and be the change in the world. So that's
right.
Becoming the Peace is all about.
Yeah. Great. Well, does anyone have any questions for Mark before we go? Anything else, Mark, you want to share? Press star 2 if you have any questions. All right.
I think as more and more unfolds, I'll be glad to, as you said, as the flower unfolds, more and more will be shed, and I'll be glad to share more as
right.
it comes. Yeah.
Great. Awesome. All right. Well, that's fantastic. Thanks for joining us, and we're all looking forward to Whoopi Soka Jubilee and the launch of the Becoming the Peace series of colloquiums, which are going to be spreading around. You know, we've got other groups doing it. PCRM has got cooking classes, and this is something that will bring not just the cooking, but more of the philosophy and deeper understanding, which is so important. So fantastic. Thanks so much, Mark, for being with us. All right. So, well, we're here we are. It's almost on the East Coast, almost 10 o'clock. I'd like to just say a little bit about our event at the farm, and then if anyone has any questions or comments, open up to those and maybe close down a little bit earlier tonight. And we've had a huge day. I can't tell you, this has been really, if you could have seen what what happened to our truck, it actually had to call the fire department. It was like a glorious ending to a 17-year mission. And it was so amazing. Madeline intuitively, a couple of days before, had gone to Craigslist and just discovered. From time to time, we've been looking for a truck that would actually pull our RV up into the mountains better. This old truck is really great, but it's not very strong. It's old. And so she found, like, for the first time ever, the perfect truck, and so we actually bought it. So anyway, it's been a very busy day for us, but the thing I want to focus on, I guess, now is the fact that as we live our lives, as Jean-Pierre was saying, and I think as Mark also is saying, and as we are all, I think, in our way, exemplifying as expressions of service and kindness and joy and beauty, creating beauty in the world as much as we can, thinking of the ramifications of our actions, then we will find, and I've seen this over and over again, we will find that there will be blessings coming to us in a variety of ways. It may be what we need in terms of money and finances. It may be in terms of connections and relationships. It may be in terms of just wonderful experiences and learning and growing, and both outer experiences and inner experiences where we begin to heal past wounds. It may be in terms of building community with other people and having rewarding relationships as well as work that we're doing. But all these things are, in many ways, I think, a product of the inner environment. And so the outer practice and the inner practice go hand in hand. And one of the things that we saw at the farm, actually, I was noticing this there, you know, they did that. I mean, there was a sense back in the early 1970s in San Francisco of creating a new world, not just protesting against the Vietnam War and all of the violence in our culture, but actually do something. And so there was a whole movement of people, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people went out to Tennessee from San Francisco and found some land and created a community, built it up, and went through all of the enormous difficulties, really, of organizing that many people. When we got there in 1975, my brother and I, it was up to 900 people, and they went all the way up to about 1,400 or 1,500 by the early 80s. And however, unfortunately, incurred the wrath in many ways of the government and the medical establishment, and they had to really change the financial setup. And so now it was, I guess, in some ways disappointing that they couldn't just continue on like that, but it's kind of shrunk back down to about 160 people, they said, live there now. But it's wonderful to see what those 160 people are doing, all the different businesses. Everyone is basically financially self-sufficient, and there's quite a few businesses on the farm. The biggest one is the book publishing company, which is the largest publisher of vegan cookbooks and a lot of other vegan books in North America. They have a huge catalog. I recommend buying some of their books. They have a lot of great stuff. And then it's another business there that makes Geiger counters, which are their business is booming with Fukushima and all this new radiation. So for people to be able to know what kind of radiation levels are in their environment. And then we have other, you know, quite a few other businesses. A lot of them, what they have, though, besides businesses, is they have a whole lot of foundations and service organizations. They have kids to the country, which brings kids from the inner city to the farm to show them about gardening and farming and living close to the land. And they have Plenty, which is an outreach to help feed people in Central America and other places. We're starting to see how they set up these soy dairies and Guatemala to help people live on beans instead of living on meat, and how much healthier and how much cheaper, and how they can keep their own, you know, really live their own lives in their villages by being shown how to make soy milk and tofu and tempeh, and they've been teaching people in Central America for years how to do this. And we went to the soy dairy and got a tour. It was absolutely the most fascinating thing I've really seen in a long time. And it was just great to see this dairy. The people who are doing this thing are getting old. The owner of the business, the soy dairy, they make soy yogurt, they make tofu, they make soy milk. And it was just great to see them making tofu. We went through the whole process. They had these gigantic, not gigantic, but they had these sort of large, maybe whatever, 100-pound bags of organic soybeans. And they'll just soak them overnight in these huge vats, and then they just dump it into this grinder, and they grind it up, and then they cook it for only 3 minutes. They cook the pressure cook it for 3 minutes, and then it goes into this other machine where it just gets squeezed and kind of shaken and squeezed, and all this milk comes out. And it's, you know, and it fills up this huge kettle, a gigantic cauldron. I don't know how many gallons, probably, you know, 200 gallons or whatever, or 100 maybe. And it fills it all the way up to the brim. And then he just, of this white soy milk, and then he just takes some calcium sulfate, like one cup of it, and just puts it in. And he has like this big canoe paddle, you know, and just kind of sweeps it around in there. And then within, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, it's just solid, just set up and solid, and then they just dump it all into these molds, and then they put this weight on the molds. It's kind of a hydraulic system, so these molds, weight goes on all these molds, and you know, it looks so neat, and it really smells good. And then they just take the, and it's like large chunks of tofu, and then they just cut it into the typical sizes that you see in the store. And then it goes into plastic containers and gets sterilized and gets shipped out to Whole Foods and all these places. And then they also make the best yogurt. Oh, gosh, they make the greatest yogurt. Really, it's the only good yogurt. We can't find any good soy yogurt in the United States, only in Europe. But they make it. They have no sweetener, just nothing but soy milk. That's it. And the culture. But you can only get it, like, right there in the Nashville area, nowhere else. They don't ship it around. He wants to sell the business. I mean, if anybody wants to have a great business, if you want to live on the farm and run the soy dairy, they need some young people. I mean, there's a business for someone there, and it's a really fun business, I would think. They're trying to sell it. It says for sale. So, you know, the guy's in his 70s, I think, and 60s, the workers, and they're old, and so it's kind of slowing down. But anyway, so... all in all, just to say a little bit about the farm, there's all these businesses, all these foundations working, and it's a community where people have their own space, but they also have community space. So it's very interesting to see. I highly recommend visiting it. We had a wonderful group there. We worked with Doug Stevenson, who's a resident who puts on retreats here. That's part of how he makes his living. He did a great job and cooked massive quantities of wonderful food for everyone in his kitchen, and his wife helped, and we just had a beautiful time. We had one woman flew all the way from Denmark to join us. We had a few people that flew from California or Colorado, and then a lot of people that came from sort of the Midwest, Chicago, Michigan, I don't know where, just around Maryland. And we had about 22, I guess it was, with all of us. And Judy Carmen came from, and her sister. She's a World Peace Diet facilitator and a writer and a co-founder of the Circle of Compassion, a good friend of ours. She was there. And Lorena Muck, I hope you all are getting her newsletter. If you're not getting her newsletter, it comes out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Christian Vegetarian Association is one of the best sources of information I've ever seen. She's a wonderful person. She lives in Atlanta. She came. We had just a great group of people. Some people came up from some of the talks we gave in Huntsville and Atlanta. And we just dove into the World Peace Diet material and did lots of exercises and discussions. And then we took some great, they have a beautiful swimming pool, like a little pond that they dam up a stream and hikes. And they have a 4,000 acres of wilderness around there, too, for us. So we took some great hikes, and we had a concert, and we learned a lot from Douglas and the history of the farm. He did a slide presentation. It was very interesting. So it was, I hope you can join us if we do it again. I'm not sure if we'll do it again next year or not. We're not really, haven't thought that far ahead. But that's the report. It, where everybody loved it. We have some pictures of everybody smiling and happy, and we're still, as I was saying, kind of a little walking in a few inches above the ground after that great event. And the event since then had gone very well, too. So we're also very optimistic about what's happening in the world. I mean, we have huge reasons to be sober. And, with this Fukushima is a really extremely dangerous situation. Apparently, it's getting worse. As a more a case than ever that people should never eat any dairy products or fish, which especially you're concentrating radioactive contamination. And the fact that in other countries, like especially China and India, the rate of meat eating is increasing, but the rate of meat eating in the United States is definitely declining. I think this is for the first time we're really seeing it dropping dramatically. As the years go by, I think the reasons are really obvious. We are being effective in educating people, and many other people also, I think, from the health point of view, the environmental point of view, compassion for animals point of view, and world hunger point of view. I mean, all these different points of view are sinking in, and it's going to keep snowballing. I really have this feeling. So you'll have a chance to look. I don't know how much time you all spend with this, but I really enjoy creating the resources each month and just bringing in what I think are some of the articles and things that are important and videos that have come out that month. So for the May 2012 resources, we've got my article, Why We Need to Change the Way We Eat for Our Children's Sake. And I'm really more than ever convinced that we've got to, as a culture, start talking about what eating animal foods does to our consciousness, what it does to our awareness, how it affects our relationships, how it affects our inner world, and all this talk about what it does to our blood pressure and all that. It's helpful on a surface level, but I think the importance of embracing veganism for the right reason, an understanding of the interconnectedness of all life, and that we're here not to exploit and condemn and harm others, but to create joy and celebration, and we can all do that and be part of that. So, there's quite a few articles here. I'll let you just go through. There's Ruby Roth's book has made quite a stir. Vegan is Love. In fact, she's right along the line in what we're saying. She was at the Jubilee last year, and we enjoyed meeting her so much. She writes books for children, and she's been getting a lot of attention for this new book and a lot of controversy, which is great because people are saying that maybe children should not be eating a vegan diet, and then, of course, we're seeing that it's really great if they do, for their health and for every other reason. And, some fascinating articles, really. Dr. McDougall's Food is the Greatest Source of Child Abuse. And this is something I was saying, 10 or 15 years ago. I read an article in Veg News that eating meat is the greatest form of child abuse, forcing kids to eat meat. And so it's good to see that theme is being carried on. And the whole thing about wildlife services, the more and more understanding about the inner lives of fish. I think all these things are just incredibly important to be discussed. And I think honestly, as we discuss these things more, we're raising the human consciousness and way of life to a higher level than has been for a long time. A lot of controversy about using horses for food and really wanting to stop that. It was also fascinating to see that the 6 final essays in the New York Times on why eating meat is ethical were all utterly unconvincing and very weak. I mean, anyone who reads those is going to see how utterly weak those essays are. And so I think, you know, it's very fascinating because I was thinking, well, maybe they'll be, you know, maybe they'll actually have reasons for that, but I don't know what to say to you, you know. I mean, why eating meat is ethical? Maybe there really is something, you know. I don't know. They could think of something, but it's just so funny to see the absurdity of the arguments that we used. That one, the best out of, they had 3,000 entries, and you know, the top ones were just ridiculous. So I mean, they actually admitted pretty much that eating vegan is the best thing ethically, which is obvious. So anyway, there's a lot of interesting information there. I always thought you'd go through that. And I love this, like why moms should want vegan children and, you know, these kinds of articles. And we see, I think, quite a change happening. It's going to be, obviously, resistance from the industries, primarily taking the form of free range and that kind of thing. But I think as we continue our work and keep spreading the message and understanding this at a deeper level, we'll be able, we're just reaching more and more people. And it's great to see how, like as we travel and we meet people at lectures, how people get ignited and they become facilitators. They start making changes in their lives and not only that, but putting up tables. And we had Nina, I think, last month, in Massachusetts, doing a whole display there of the World Peace Diet and Circle of Compassion and handing out information. And so I think all of us can find our ways to tap in. And Steve and I are working together to bring another internet program to the masses on the internet, which we're planning for July and planning that will reach a lot more people. The John Robbins event really reached, they had 32,000 people apparently register for that. So that's great. And it was a big umbrella event. They drew from not just the vegan, I mean, they had 22 presenters. And I think Dennis Krasinich and his wife Elizabeth were one that were vegan. And Neil Barnard and Kathy Preston and Roy Friedman. But everybody else, pretty much, well, I guess Dean Bauer too, everybody else really not vegan, and so they were able to bring in a lot of people in under a larger umbrella who are interested in GMO, stopping GMOs, who are interested in, like Francis Molepay, feeding, sort of creating a context to feed people, but not necessarily vegan-oriented. They even had Nyman Ranch represented, which is a meat producer. So for me, it was a little disappointing that there were so many non-vegans getting a message, but I think for the most part it was pretty much a plant-based message. From what I heard, I didn't hear everything. I only heard a little bit here and there. But what Steve and I are going to be doing will be completely vegan, and we're going to bring just the vegan message. And the idea is that we'd like to bring it to more people. So please, we'll let you know about that, but please participate in getting the word out on that. And I think these things are really helpful to get the message out to more people through the Internet. And then also, if you'd like to have me come and speak somewhere, wherever you are, let me know. We're getting requests as we're heading back in the fall, back towards California again. So we have quite a few different possibilities. And now with our new truck, we can even make it there up in Colorado. We never could go to places in Colorado. We just couldn't get out. Like, we got an invitation from Durango, and we just had to say, I'm sorry, you know, we can't. Our truck won't go up to Durango, but now we can go there. So, yay. So I guess there's always a silver lining to all this. These things that happened to us that we wish in some ways wouldn't have happened. So anyway, I think I'm gonna begin to wrap it up here. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say? Press star 2 if you'd like to either ask a question, make a comment, or say hello or whatever. Otherwise, we have our next meeting together in June, and the third Thursday is the 21st, and that's an interesting time. We'll be in Cape Cod at that point, and I think it's the solstice, and we'll be getting ready for our, we'll be starting to lay the groundwork for the Vegan Palooza too, so we'll have a lot more news about that. So in the meantime, we send our love then to all of you for all of the efforts that you've been making, really, I think, for probably a long time to help bring your lives into alignment with the ethics of compassion and kindness. Thank you for making a difference in the world and for being with us this evening. We plan on staying in touch in the meantime. And we are also planning on, as I said earlier, broadening the World Peace Diet Circle to include more people. And we'll be giving you the details on that. We're basically going to be launching a new World Peace Diet Circle. It'll be similar, but it's just going to reach a lot more people in conjunction with the Vegan Palooza. So I think it's important for us to build up the foundation and build up the base to get this message out to more people and broaden the conversation. So look forward to more exciting things happening. And until the next time, Madeline and I join, and I know Steve does too, in sending our love and our appreciation to you. And feel free to stay in touch if you have any questions or concerns. And we look forward to seeing you in June. Thanks again for joining us.